Amen. Thank you for the music. Take your Bibles and join me in the book of Exodus. That's the second book, Genesis, Exodus, the second chapter. I want to speak to you today on this subject, a mother's faith. A mother's faith. The second most famous Bible character is Moses. If you Google Moses' name, you get 117 million hits. That's a lot. He's pretty well known globally. He's mentioned 800 times in both Old and New Testament. His claim to fame is that God used him to lead God's people out of Egyptian bondage. And he had more one-on-one time with the Father God than any other mere mortal. Think about that. After 40 days on Mount Sinai with God receiving the law, twice, when he came down the mountain, his faith was radiant from the presence of God. He had a glow. Exodus 34, 30. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near. I can imagine so. People tell me all the time that my position is intimidating, and I don't mean for that to be the case, but I understand. But imagine if I got to spend one-on-one time with the Father God on the mountaintop for 40 days and I came down and I was glowing with His presence. That would be pretty intimidating, wouldn't it? I think Christians ought to have a glow with the presence of Almighty God in our lives. But He's talking about something here very different. And yet, these Jews often rebelled against God's chosen leader. And still, God used him mightily to firmly establish the nation of Israel under his leadership. Well, how in the world did Moses get to be so famous and so powerful as a person? Well, I suspect it had a great deal to do with his upbringing. We don't know a lot about his upbringing, but what we do know is most intriguing to me. We know his mom was a very special lady, and we'll consider her plight today. And as we do, my prayer is that each of us might leave from here with a greater faith than ever before. I'm in the second chapter of the book of Exodus, second book of the Bible. I'd ask you to stand to honor the public reading of God's precious word. I'll begin reading at verse 1, and I'll read through verse 10. And the New King James Version reads like this: "And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid him in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the child wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Please be seated. As you do, join me in prayer. Father, thank you for Moses and the powerful illustration he is of a life well lived and one used of God. And thank you, Lord, for his godly mother, Jochebed, who was willing to take a strong stand of faith, trusting in you. Lord, I pray that be the testimony of each mom in the sound of my voice. I'm so grateful for the mothers of Grace Baptist Church. I'm so grateful for their faith in you and their faithfulness to your church. And I just pray your richest blessing upon them. I realize that many of them are facing serious trials and tribulations, and I just ask that you minister to every need that they have according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as husbands and fathers. Help us as the church family to know how we can minister most effectively to our moms, to be encouragers to them, to be Jesus to them, so that we might realize our full potential as a church. And Lord, I pray that you'd preach through me and set me free of every distraction, every hindrance, every obstacle. I present to you truth. Silence me, O God, that you might be heard. And hide me, O Father, that you might be seen. And I do pray the forces of darkness and evil that hate us because we're yours might be bound from this place and property. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives, over this church family, over this facility, and over this property, and ask that your perfect will be accomplished this hour. And for all that you do, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What do we know about Jochebed? Well, several things stand out to me in this brief passage of Scripture. And the first is we know she was chosen. She was chosen. The Jews first went to live in Egypt to escape a severe famine in the land. Jacob had many sons, and his favored son was Joseph, who had the coat of many colors. His jealous brothers sold him into slavery, took him to the slave market there in Egypt. He was sold to Potiphar, who appears to have been the treasurer or the manager for Pharaoh. And then so Joseph was richly blessed managing Potiphar's household affairs. And Potiphar prospered as a result until one day his wife falsely accused Joseph of attempting to rape her. And then he was imprisoned, spent some time there, and then over the course of time had the opportunity to interpret a dream for Pharaoh. God gave a dream as a warning of 7 years of prosperity and then 7 years of blight for the nation so that they could be prepared. And because Joseph interpreted that, the nation of Egypt was richly blessed even through those difficult days. And so Pharaoh elevated Joseph to the number two position in all the land. Well, Joseph's family, Jacob and the other sons and their families were struggling. And so they sent folks to buy grain from Pharaoh. And they didn't recognize Joseph. It had been a long time since they had seen him, and he'd changed quite a bit. And after he had an encounter with them, he eventually revealed his identity and allowed the whole family to be brought there into Egypt where they could continue to be cared for and actually thrive in that protected environment during some very difficult years of famine. They lived off the fat of the land. And so it served as something of an incubator for the nation of Israel, and they grew and they prospered. Well, when Joseph and Pharaoh died, another Pharaoh took his place. And that Pharaoh feared for his nation because of the number of Jews that now lived within their nation. So they enslaved God's chosen people, made them common laborers, and they served there in the nation of Egypt for 400 years. But their struggle had been foretold of God long before by the prophets. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, the Lord said to Abram, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that's not their own, and they'll be enslaved and afflicted for 400 years. Now, eventually, somebody would be called on to lead them out of Egyptian bondage. But who would it be? God chose Moses, a man of great courage, great character, great conviction, to lead them out. But it wasn't a random choice. No, it was based upon God's foreknowledge that Moses would indeed live for him. Romans 8:28, "He whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." God could look down through time and see Moses and the courage and conviction he would possess. And so he chose Moses for this great position. But guess what? Moses had to enter human history through a mother. Everybody you know, everybody who's ever lived, including Jesus, has a mother. Jesus didn't have an earthly father, but he had a mother, Mother Mary. Very famous in Bible scriptures. But we all have mothers. And I would tell you that our mothers were chosen of Almighty God, just as Jochebed was chosen. Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. Now Amram took Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. Now, both Moses' mom and dad were preacher's kids. It says in verse 1, a man of the house of Levi went and took as his wife, a daughter of Levi. Now, the Levites were the tribe of the priests in the temple hierarchy. So both these people were children of preachers. What's the big deal about that? That didn't guarantee a thing. And you're exactly right. I know a lot of preachers' kids that are the very worst ones. Now, not mine for certain, but many. But I can tell you this, choosing descendants of Levi to be the parents of Moses ensured a couple of things. First and foremost, it ensured that they would be comfortable around the things of God. They wouldn't be strangers to the temple. They wouldn't be strangers to worship. And they wouldn't be strangers to the Word, because the Jews took very seriously the instruction and teaching of the Word of God to their children. From a very early age, they would have been schooled and instructed in the Word and the law of God. I would tell you that we as parents ought to do likewise. We ought to take very seriously our obligation to teach our children the things of God. Doing so gives them a huge head start. So God chose a woman of deep conviction to be Moses' mother. But I would tell you that every mother is chosen of God. And He's chosen you to equip your children and prepare your children for the plan He has prepared for them. You say, "Preacher, how is that possible? I don't know what my children will be when they grow up. I don't have any idea what God's plan for their life is." And you're right, you really don't. And I would tell you that you'll be very surprised, as they will. And the things that they think they want to be as children don't usually pan out that way. But I would tell you that we have the potential to train and to equip our children for whatever life brings if we're willing to help them be familiar with the reality of God and the things of God. And if we will take seriously our responsibility as their parents to teach them the Word of God, that prepares them for anything life throws at them, and they're never too young to start. I'll guarantee you, our nursery workers today are teaching those babies about the love of Jesus Christ. So they don't have their Bibles open. They're not reading Scripture and lecturing those children, but they're singing songs to them, and they sing songs about Jesus. And as they grow, they'll begin to talk about Jesus and talk about the Bible stories. It's never too early to start. The Roman Catholic Church is wise in a great many areas, but one in particular, they say, if you give us a child for the first 6 years, he'll be Roman Catholic for life. That's why they put so much emphasis on schools and daycare centers, child care, because they know in those early formative years, they can make an impression upon that child that he'll not quickly escape. So as we train our children in God's Word, we're training them in God's will, because God's Word reveals God's will for His people. So we're equipping them for whatever God plans to use for them. And God will make sure that His perfect plan comes to pass if we, their parents, and especially mothers, do their job in equipping those children. So Jochebed was chosen as Moses' mother, but also she was confident as Moses' mother. You know, Pharaoh was deeply troubled by the proliferation, I suppose, of the nation of Israel. Even though they were afflicted, they grew and multiplied. Exodus chapter 1, verse 12. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And the Egyptians were in dread of the children of Israel. Think about that. Well, to eliminate that threat, Pharaoh said, "We need to kill all the newborn baby boys. Can't let them live. They need to be destroyed before they can, in fact, grow up and have children of their own." Now, you understand that Pharaoh's edict was law. There was no Congress that had to approve it. There was no Supreme Court that could overturn it. When Pharaoh spoke, it became law, and those who refused to abide his law would put to death. Just that simple. And there was no appeals system for them. He was God over that nation, or so he thought. And yet, Jochebed gave birth to a baby boy and said, I am not going to put him to death. From birth, she knew he was special. Listen to verse 2. The woman conceived and bore a son, and we saw that he was a beautiful child. She hid him for 3 months. Now, I realize that all moms think their children are beautiful. And rightly so. They're a part of you, Mom, and will be forever and ever and ever. But I would also tell you that that really is not the best interpretation of that word. When she says she saw he was a beautiful child, the word in the Hebrew is tob, T-O-W-B, tob. And it means to be good or to be beautiful, to be fine, to be the best, to be pleasant, to be precious, to be well-favored. I'll give a better interpretation would be, she saw that he was a well-favored child, so she hid him for 3 months. He was favored of God. You say, well, preacher, what does that look like? I don't know. I don't know, but I believe it was the Spirit of God moving in Jochebed's heart and mind to let her know that God had a special plan for this child. And he was not to be put to death. So she hid him for 3 months. She was confident in God's protection for each of their lives. And yet, can we just be honest for a few minutes while we're in church and acknowledge that it's not easy to hide babies? They grow and they get loud. If you don't think I'm telling you the truth, they could use help in the nursery. And you'll know something about loud in just a few minutes if you go back there to serve, because those little rascals sound off. Their lungs develop and get strong, and they don't have any means of communicating otherwise, so they just let you have it. They're trying to communicate something of great importance, and guess what? Moses would have been no different. You said, well, I thought she had a great confidence. Why didn't she just have confidence that God wouldn't let him cry? Really? I'm intrigued by the people who say, well, you know, baby Jesus never cried. Are you kidding me? I mean, what do you think he said? Mom, hungry here. He's a baby. Babies cry. I know something about that. We have 11 grandchildren. They all were babies once. They all cried. I don't know what to do with a crying child. I don't know what to do with a crying woman either. They learned early on, I have a house full of women, wife and 3 daughters. Dad's being hard-nosed, just cry. Just cry. Solves all the problems. I just think, why are you crying? Now I understand why they were crying. They weren't getting their way. Tears will do it. I just don't deal with that very well. But they get loud. They get loud. Not my wife and daughters, but the babies get loud. I guess they got loud too. But and so her faith didn't stall. Her faith simply shifted to a different position for God. I mean, God had provided for 3 months for him to be hidden, but now it's time for a new phase of his plan. And so she devised the plan, I believe, based upon her personal observation, because she knew Pharaoh's daughter and others in prominent position would have maids that could assist in the process. So she built a little an ark of reeds and daubed it all inside and outside with pitch or tar, and then placed little baby Moses in that ark and put him down in the reeds by the river. Knowing that, somebody would come by soon. You see, people are creatures of habit, have been down through the ages. You're a creature of habit. I talk to you, I'm a creature of habit. I make people at the office crazy, make Brent crazy, make my wife crazy about where we're going to eat. They know where I'm going to eat. I mean, I eat the same places all the time. They say, don't you get tired of that? Nope, I don't. I like my rut. Just leave me alone in my rut. My rut is comfortable. I'm fine. I can do my rut. So, but we all are that way. Now, your rut might be wider than mine. It might be longer than mine, but you have a rut too. And we are creatures of habit. Guess what? Pharaoh's daughter was a creature of habit. And I have a suspicion. Can't prove this is my opinion worth what it cost you. That Jochebed knew that Pharaoh's daughter came to that river to bathe. And so she was hopeful in God's provision and protection that way. She was confident that God would meet the need. I'm speaking to moms today who are facing impossible struggles. Jochebed knows what you're talking about. She was in a mess. She had this well-favored baby boy. If Pharaoh found him, he was going to kill him. What could she do? And yet she had confidence. You say, it doesn't sound like much confidence. You put him in the river with those crocodiles. She was concerned about the crocodiles. She wanted to make sure that his need was met and he was cared for so he could live and thrive and fulfill God's plan and purpose for his life. The same thing is true with you and your children. They might be infants, and I know that we have some parents here today who have little infants. Maybe we're premature and maybe have some issues there. I want you to know God's going to meet your need. God is faithful. We have others maybe whose children are a little older and maybe going through some rebellious stage and making you crazy. And I want you to know God's aware of your need and you can have confidence in God's provision. There are some here today who have grown children who are rejecting their upbringing, rejecting the things of God, and it breaks your heart and you're just worried to death. I want you to know that God's aware of your struggle and you can be confident in God's provision for your life and for your children. You say, preacher, that's all well and good, but I have a child that's in heaven. And boy, it breaks my heart for you. I can't relate to what you've gone through and what you are going through. But I don't give you this word of encouragement. Your child is not dead. Your child is fully alive in the presence of Almighty God and will know you when they see you. And they're going to have that loving relationship with him that you so desperately desire at this point in your life. It's just being postponed for a while. And I know that doesn't do anything in the world to soothe your hurt. But I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient even for you in that time of trial. My Bible says in Philippians 4:19, God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That means all. Every single one, physically, emotionally, spiritually, every single way, God will meet your need. Jochebed was confident. So she was chosen. She was confident, but notice also she was consoled. She was consoled. How in the world can a mom ever be consoled who has to give her child away like that? How could a loving God allow a Pharaoh that much power to devastate the nation of Israel that way? I mean, why didn't God stop all that? And he could have. Well, I don't understand God's plan fully. And I'm not promised that I'm going to in this life, and neither are you. And I can let that trip me up and keep me from living for Jesus Christ, or I can say, my God's way bigger than my simple understanding, and I know God doesn't make mistakes, so I'm going to trust him, which is exactly what Jochebed did. But you see, Pharaoh's daughter found Moses there in the reeds, and Moses' sister was standing nearby when she opened that little basket, and he started to cry. His sister knew right away Pharaoh's daughter's heart was stolen. So she came and said, hey, would you like for me to get somebody who can help you to nurse that child? It says there in verse 7. His sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter liked the idea. I guess she did. Any mom would like the idea of having a child and somebody else to care for that child. I mean, let's be honest. I'm talking today to moms who haven't slept much in days, weeks, months. I said the other day to somebody, you know, you'll get a good night's sleep probably in another 15, 20 years. Somebody said, I wouldn't speak that quickly. My child's 30 and I still worry about him. And I don't sleep well at night because of my concerns about him. Children are taxing in that way. So imagine being able to have a nursemaid, somebody who would take care of all the difficult duty for you. That's exactly what's happening here with Pharaoh's daughter. But notice this. Jochebed, Moses' mother, is the one called and getting paid to do what she'd have had to do anyway had it not been for Pharaoh's edict to kill the babies. Now that gets mom's attention. Imagine, moms, if your husbands or whoever significant other can just pay you for all the hours that you put in spending with your children. That'd be pretty good duty. That'd be pretty good duty. Jochebed is getting paid for being the mother of the child she gave birth to. So God provided that in the way of a consolation. And she was able to spend endless hours, far more time daily than she would have been had she raised him just on her own, because she had to tend to the rest of the house as well. But now she's being paid so she can just devote attention to this precious baby on Pharaoh's daughter's behalf. And I believe from a very early age she began to instill in him the truth of God, the Word of God, the love of God. And I would tell you that she taught him in such a way that he was equipped for whatever plan God has for his life. Well, it took some time for it to come to fruition, but she was effective in ministering to his need. And I would tell you that because of her faithfulness, Moses was able to accomplish great things for God. But the same thing will be true with your children. See, the promise of Proverbs 22:6 is made not just to Jochebed, but to us all. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, I know people, I've had people argue with me, that really is not absolute truth. That's proverbial wisdom. That's generally true, but you can't hold God's feet to the fire if your child didn't turn out right. Well, can I just give you a word for that? Baloney. It's the Word of God. It's absolutely true. It will not fail. Where we get messed up, however, is that we don't recognize the distinction between teaching our children and training our children. I shared Wednesday night, and I've told you before, I was not a great student in school. I didn't like school at all. And I'm not being critical of teachers or administrators or principals or assistant principals or board members or anybody involved in the school system. I'm a supporter of the school system. And you can ask the folks in the school system. We as a church support them financially. We support them in the way they use our facility. They call on me. I'm on standby all the time. They have people to pray over the board meetings. They meet twice a month. And when somebody cancels, they can call me and I'll come pray. I'm over there a lot. Support our school system. But I'm afraid our school system fails in that we have focused our attention on teaching children to take tests as opposed to training them up for life. Can I just be honest with you and tell you, I learned a whole lot of stuff in school that was in short-term memory to take a test, and I couldn't recall any of it now if my life depended on it. But I was taught, and I learned for that season. Training is very different. When you train a child up, you're so deeply ingraining in them that which is being taught that it becomes who they are. It's a way of life. And here's the difference. You can have your child in an Awana kind of a program or in a Spotlight kind of a program that we have that will teach your children to memorize Scripture. And that's a wonderful thing. I encourage you to do so. And you follow up and make sure they do that memory work on your own. But if that's all there is to their home experience with the things of God, it probably isn't going to affect them very much. But if you are living out the Scriptures they are memorizing, if they see those Scriptures coming to life in your daily routine, you are burning that deep down into their soul and they won't be able to escape it. How do you know that, preacher? Because I'm a product of it. I'm a product of it. I went through all the stuff at church, and I had to memorize all the scriptures and all those kind of things, and I did my best to let it go in one ear and out the other. But when I would come home from church, I was seeing that scripture come to life. It defined who my dad was. It defined who my mother was. It defined the way we conducted ourselves as a family in every situation. Well, I got to be old. I graduated high school. I went one semester to college and flunked out on purpose. I didn't want anything to do with that. I was going to conquer the world. Drove my dad crazy. It breaks my heart. I think about my dad being, first of all, a pastor and secondly, an educator, and I rejected both things that were dear to him in this life. And before I ever got saved and came to my senses, the Lord took him home. So I never got to have the conversation I need to have to apologize for being such a stubborn, stiff-necked son. But someday, Jim, I will. And that's the first thing I'll do when I see him, is express my sincere apology for having been so stinking stubborn. But I've told you before, the night before we were to get married, Leela and I were together for a short time, and I said, I want to make sure of something. I want to make sure you're not marrying me thinking I'm going to turn out like my dad. And she said, if I thought you were going to turn out like your dad, I wouldn't marry you. Because she wasn't interested in all that God stuff either. Well, time has passed, and here I am. He's a little heavier than me, had a little bit more booming voice than me, probably had a little bit less hair than me, but this is him. In church all the time. I'm in church all the time. I live at the church. And I'm not complaining. I guess I'm bragging. I get to. I enjoy it very much. If I'm not at home, I got a pretty good idea. I'm at church. Well, that's what defined my dad. I mean, he was living for the things of God. And it was so programmed in me that even though I consciously tried to escape it, I could not. Because I was trained up in the way I should go. You say, well, preacher, I didn't train up my children that way. Would you hear me when I say, Mom, it is not too late. You are still very likely the most influential person in your child's life. I don't care how old you are or how old they are. And you will always be. It's not too late to say, I'm sorry, I failed in this regard, but I want you to know that nothing's more important in my life than Jesus Christ. And nothing's more important for your life than you come to know Him. And I'm going to spend whatever days I have left on this earth living for Him so that you see Jesus living in me and can be drawn irresistibly to Him. You say, can you override their will? No, you can't override their will, but you can change their heart and mind. And the Holy Spirit of God will work through you to enable that miracle to take place. But I would tell you, it's got to start now. There's no time like the present. Jochebed made that a priority from Moses' birth. She trained him up such that even though God had to go on the backside of the desert mountain to find him, God could find him. And God used him in a mighty way to accomplish great things. He'll do the same thing for your child today. So, Mom, I want to encourage you. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know how many children you have or what their situation is. But God knows. And God loves you, and God gave you those children. And He wants you to be instrumental in training them up such that they'll be mighty warriors for the cause of Christ. And you can. You say, preacher, I just don't know if I know how. Just be Jesus. Just live for Jesus. Just study the Word of God. Just practice the Word of God. Just make sure that you have them involved in church. Have them involved in ministry. Let them see your pursuit of God. Let them hear you pray. Pray for them. Pray with them. Let it be something that God can burn deep into their heart and to their mind, to their soul. And they will not escape it. Jochebed's a powerful example of one who was chosen of God, who was confident in God, who was consoled by God. And so may we be. Let's pray. Father, thank you for moms. Thank you for their love for you, their love for your word, their love for your church. Lord, thank you for their love for their children. Lord, I pray for the moms here today who have children that are already with you. I know it's a heavy burden for them to bear. My heart goes out to them. I pray you'd encourage them today, lift their spirits, and remind them that they will see their precious son or daughter again. Lord, I pray for the mom who has wayward children who are running and rebelling against God. I pray that you'd give them confidence, not in their children, but in you. That they would so live for you that you, through your Holy Spirit, might draw them to yourself, that they might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if they are saved, that stop their rebellion and submit fully to your Lordship, that they might make a difference in this lost and dying world. And I pray that each mom would remember that she is chosen of God to help to train up those children. Not all her responsibility. We dads have plenty. But Lord, she's such a primary influence over those children. And I pray that she'd be encouraged in her walk today. Lord, I pray for us as a church family on how we can come alongside our mothers to express our love and appreciation, to assist them in whatever way possible so that we might see your handiwork in the lives of our children as they grow to serve you faithfully. Father, I pray that the forces of darkness would be bound from the children of this church family, that they would have heavenly angels standing to guard over them continually, that they would grow in their knowledge of God and from a very early age surrender life and will to serve Jesus Christ. But Lord, I pray most of all that we would be the godly parents you've called us to be. If he does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today, I pray something's been said or done, that they'd recognize that this is the day of salvation. But Lord, have your way in this decision time. And for all that you accomplish, we give you all praise and thanks. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand to your feet if God's spoken.